reputation.
Move over here, John, you said. All right. Well, feel what? Pressing.
Finished 43 years there in August.
At Chrysler?
Yes. started when I was 15.
Oh, I see.
I started with Briggs, and then Chrysler bought Briggs.
Yeah.
And
isn't that great?
Yeah. I came here from England when I was 13 and a half.
Oh, you were born in England?
Yeah, and that's why I said this group that we took, the groups that were invited, couldn't be any more representative of the United States.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, just background-wise, we had a 17-year-old girl who was born in
Hungary. Did you get them?
No. These people were selected on the basis of their ability to play to go to Japan, and we all go on our own money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that was the type of thing. We're completely independent.
You paid for yourselves?
All of us paid for ourselves, not to go to China.
No, to go to Japan. Yeah, well, that's the big piece of it.
That's where we had to go.
Did you say a what?
Now, there's this 15-year-old girl from Eugene, Oregon. We had a 17-year-old girl born in Hungary that lives in Orlando, Florida. We had a 23-year-old housewife whose baby was 2 years old. Just a day before we got home, and it was a bad day for her. She wanted to be home with her child. She's our national champion, a marvelous girl, granddaughter. Then we had myself born in England, and Robert Harrison's born in England, and we had the term is black, not colored anymore, but the black man who's a real gentleman. He might have seen one of tonight's shots. He was shirt and tie with the rest of the black bums, right? He was British Guiana, but now Guiana. We have one from the Dominican Republic.
Did you?
Yes, Earl Bressing is from the Dominican Republic.
So that's something.
So you couldn't have, and then we had a guy with hair down here, right?
Who was he?
His friend Callum from California.
California, yeah, that's right. My city.
I know that.
If he had a tramp, he could have straight.
Yeah, I thought that was very well stated.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's all right.
But, yeah, and then we had the guy. We had a guy from Texas that really gave me the most concern, and that's the boy from Ohio. He's around Cincinnati, but little town Ohio.
He's warmer.
Yeah, he was in the summer. He wore a bib, warmest coverall.
Oh, yeah.
I saw his picture. He went to the gym. He had no luggage, really. And, you know, and he got dead. Oh, that was up all night. I just didn't sleep. I just stayed with him.
Just in general.
What I was doing was, I think it was somewhat emotional because he had just got through with this interview where he poured his heart out to Webster, the reporter, the station in Peking. And I found that a story had been issued and sent out. And apparently everything that goes out, my Chinese friends would certainly know about.
Sure.
Because they came to me about 1 o'clock in the morning, knocked on the door, and said, come on with us, you know. It was like over there, they don't have, I can't communicate. We go into a room, you know, with several beds, or it's in this tea set up, you know, and he said, I wonder what's going on. And the level of the individual I'm talking to by, where am I, the guy that carried me around, where he sits. It's way down there, and there's 2 or 3 above, and then at least there's 4 levels. And this is what this was. And they said, Mr. Steenhoven, you might have heard some rumors. No, like me, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, well, some rumors about perhaps someone thinking of staying here or going to stay here or something like that. And I said, well, I'm not concerned about that. I'm positive that that's not going to occur without any help from you at all. I just know it's not going to occur. And they said, well, we don't want you to be concerned. We don't want you to worry about anything. Why everybody's came with you is going to leave with you. That was significant. Mm-hmm. And then what they didn't know was that this John Tannehill said, I want to talk to you, Mr. Steenhoven. He said, come on, John. We go in the room. He said, I'd like to stay here. Poor John. He said, well, I'd like to practice table tennis. I'd like to meet the people a little bit. I said, well, you figure you'd like to stay. He said, I'd like to ask him to stay. If I can stay another week. And all of us, but we have commitments. I don't you have any responsibilities. I've got to be working Chrysler on Monday. Sunday night I was there at Chrysler on Monday, believe me.
That was a very good way to put it.
Well, I said, don't you have any responsibilities to your parents or your school? And he said, well, would you ask them? I said, well, probably not, but let's think about it some more before we get to leave. Well, I was a little concerned about them. I thought maybe you can just walk away when we get to the border.
Yeah.
pretty close to heaven. I must say, I don't say I got ulcers, but I didn't eat too well, you know. But then he got so sick that I think it was more like dysentery or exhaustion or the emotional strain of thinking about this thing, because he collapsed in the bathroom about 1 o'clock in the morning. They came and got me, and you know, we had
the doctor, didn't they?
Yeah, and they were there in no time.
They're very good.
I presume he was good, but we picked him up, put him in the bed, and he made a hell of a mess in the bathroom, you know. So we bathed him, and immediately we put him in another room. Now, in those hotels, there's no problem about getting rooms, because there's anybody else there.
Really?
That's true. These are hotels like this.
Oh, I see.
These are for guests, foreign guests. And there isn't anybody else there. You may run across some people occasionally. Other than us, there may be some other guests. But can you believe an airport, for instance, it's fully staffed? I mean fully staffed. Here, you know, in English and Chinese, but nobody going anywhere. One plane on the runway, private for us. And guards at the defense there to make sure that nobody loiters.
You know, would you tell us what you told us earlier about the degree to which people carry ping pong paddles?
Oh, this is a total
mess. Fatal mess.
He happens to be right, because I pointed out that in the rest of the world, the only reason we can't use it here, so he's correct.
All right.
How's that?
All right. I'll just table tennis because I know
what you would.
I don't worry. It's done. I noticed in the presence and I said table tennis. And when you talked to him, you told him table tennis is it. But now
you read it. They tried to bring it up this morning. See where I said that I could be involved in Vice President Agnew because he was talking about ping pong and we were table tennis players. So, what are you talking about? But anyway, it's a true story that it's their nice work and this table tennis business and or ping pong there. And babies in arms. I'm not kidding you. Saw this myself with a table tennis bat in their hand. Pen holder style, the way you hold a chopstick. We think it's because of the way they held the chopstick, but I don't think that's necessarily true.
Yeah, we used to play that way. I know that you use, don't you know what you use in tennis?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, but you can't play it like that.
Of course.
That's the way we used to play it.
If you are really athletic enough, as they are, your athletes, as they are, it's the better way to play.
This way?
No, this way, because they apparently can hit harder with it.
Really?
They're all forehand. Yeah, it's all, you don't play any backhands. You know, we play this way, and
oh,
this way, you know.
But you don't have the control, actually, without...
I understand.
I feel you've got more control when I play the game. I sort of play both. You've got more control of it when you're playing it this way. It's like putting, actually.
I know.
When you go this way,
you've got to have less control, because you're in the more...
Do they run it off the table to get the boy?
They run, yes. They jump. They actually meet the ground. And this, I want to say...
They were really good. Oh, my.
I took no camera when I went in. And I did that deliberately. You know, if you're heading a delegation, how can you say, just a minute, I want to take a picture, you know? So I took no camera. Before I left Tokyo, I was offered so many thousands of dollars for my story. And I turned them all down.
Did you?
Yes, sir. And I went and committed.
Well, this is where you went to China.
This was Tokyo. When I was going to China, I stopped in Tokyo the night before.
They sent
the next morning. I had a coffee. The guy shows a contract with my name already on it. I said, scratch the name out. And if you want to give it to anybody else, that's okay. But I'm not taking it. Now, I'm not trying to be a hero.
Oh, I
am. I'm just trying to tell you the kind of approach I had and what the reaction was. And that's only the background. What happened was that after I told my Chinese host, I said, now I came to you as your guest, and I came without a camera, and I came without any commitments. But obviously, you know I want to have some pictures. Now, your Chinese photographers have been taking pictures. So if you want to do something for me, send me some pictures. That's all I have.
Did they do it?
They give me a box the last day on the train, which I threw in my luggage, and I assumed was some snapshots. And what they give me was what Peking saw on television. I got the 600-foot, 16-millimeter television show with the script in English.
It isn't
and I immediately took it to a soon as I didn't even open it up. You know, it's true, but I opened it up the day after I got home, and I put it, so I took it over to Chrysler, and we ran it through.
Must have been fascinating.
Yeah, it was great, you know, because who else has got anything like that for a memory? And so I immediately took it down to a film studio and had them put it in their vaults and make a couple of copies and just keep them there. Now, I don't know if it's any interest to your State Department or any people, but if it is, and they want to view it, you know,
I'm interested.
Well, yes. You will make arrangements for some of you to see if you get a run of it. But it might be of some interest, because it
is what they ran.
They ran in Pete Gaylord, because...
American English titles.
No. The script they give me is in English.
Oh.
There's no sound on it.
Oh.
And it's in black and white.
Oh.
But where they marked in between the films, where they've been putting it together, is all in Chinese. You'll see it. First, you see the plane landing. You see us get off and get greeted. And then you'll see, for instance, then they'll switch to another scene where they've edited something in, but in the process, the film will show Chinese writing in white. You know, it's not finalized or edited or
cut. It will say what the voiceover commentary was
in Chinese. That's what it was.
Let me ask a question after you probably responded to, but I'd like to get your evaluation. What was Joe and I like? How did he look physically? I know he's a very intelligent old because I have mutual friends, even though we're on
yes.
I didn't, for example, George A. Respectful ambassador knows Joe Miley. What was he like? Tell me about
it. Well, first, let me explain that we went into a room and there were now five countries there. And we weren't alone. See, there were five countries all over China, but they kept us separated until we met Joe and Lai. So we go in this tremendous room. Well, where they have, you know, I'd say the equivalent of the White House.
Sure.
And they hand us alphabetically. And of course that made the USA last because when they put up signs we were America, but when we were seating we were USA.
Sure. It's like the US.
Yeah, well anyhow, he talked with Marge Walden of Canada. Now we know the Canadians very well, and I know Marge Walden, and he talked with her, and of course they
didn't lose. He does speak English though.
I'm positive he knows better English than the interpreter.
Oh no, he speaks English.
Both Chinese. Mm. But when the interpreter was interpreting it to us in English and made a mistake, he'd correct her.
Mm.
And it didn't take long to think about it, but he's a very bright man. And anyway, he could talk, you know, and he knew everything about each group. He did it so thoroughly brief, and he had a tremendous memory. And he went, all right, and he'd keep asking for criticism. Please criticize us. We want to do better. Let us know your criticisms, you know.
You mean of the country?
Of anything. He didn't care. And nobody could, you know.
He asked you that kind of question?
He asked all of us this. As a group, he's...
More important is what he asked you.
All right.
Because you're here in America.
He came around to sitting with me, mm-hmm. and he commented about the various things that we had done, and how pleased he was to see us, and so on. And then he asked the same questions. Do you have any criticisms? I said, well, I've been thinking about that, because you've been asking about that. Nobody has criticized you, but I have one. What is it? I said, well, you feed us too much. Just like this, and he says, well, that's not your fault. That's the fault of your host. He should have provided you with a menu. I had to get the host off the spot because, you know. So I said, well, it's not his fault either, because you put out a cold meat. We thought that was the whole course. We thought that's the lunch. We have cold beef in the United States. We thought, well, that's it. We were so busy filling ourselves with that cold beef, we failed to see that there was a menu right by our place with 10 other courses. And however, I want you to know we ate them all. he kind of grinned. And,
it was food, though.
Excellent.
Chinese and Greek cooks.
Oh, well, we must have.
They were there too.
If somebody was a gourmet, they would have gone out of their minds because we just got everything.
Had you been to any Chinese city before, any
Orient? None of us had ever been to China.
The Far East?
None of us. No.
Hmm.
So, ever.
Good.
So it's all new to us.
And you?
And we went to a polytechnic college and I drove a truck there. I showed us the trucks and I said to the
Chinese made?
Oh, made by the students. A
assembled by the students.
They showed me these trucks. They were very good, really. And I said, do they run? You know, they said, sure, they run. Do you want to drive home? And I said, sure. I had a film.
Is that a gasoline?
Yes, it was ours. For, you know, gear shift.
Yeah.
No different than ours. I sit up there with the things. I drove the truck around. Came back. They enjoyed me doing that.
Sure.
What size truck was it?
Two and a half tons a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had a dump truck that was unbelievably tremendous size that they
brought a big thing.
And I commented on the only thing I could find it. I had about something. I do know art building. And I looked at the art building and I found that was very good. And I looked at
was
the
it good?
Yeah, it was good. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the chrome. The chrome was perfect. Mm-hmm. So I complimented the two things I could see.
Good.
I said, I'm with Chrysler.
They do that.
Sure they do that. And I said, I know something about art welding. I want you to tell your students they did a marvelous job welding that. And that bead is perfect. And one other thing that I know something about is chrome. And I can't even say no roughness in that chrome. I think it's a very fine job. Let your students know that. Now when we went into school, they had the professors there who were confessing their sins, as it were.
Professors
from the school,
sort of
confessing their sins in this way. The guy made a speech about how now they get their students from the peasants, the peasants, the workers, and the soldiers. That's what's in their colleges now, the peasants, workers, and soldiers. And various communes would say that this one should go to college, you know, no matter what the age.
And, well, what's their qualification?
Well, I think they pick their qualifications, but they pick them. See, first you got to go to work in the fields first, then you go to college. That was the thing.
So it's the workers,
right? Yeah. So that's what they were pounding in. It was the workers, the soldiers, and the So anyway, so this professor was saying that before the revolution, or I don't know what they called it, but before the change, before Mao took over, he was a professor, and he. When Mao took over, he sent him into the fields to learn from the workers. And he gave an example of this guy is supposed to be a real chemist or physicist or whatever. And he gave an example about while he was out there in the field, he was looking for a piece of carbon steel. And he couldn't find it. He couldn't determine of all that in the piles of steel, which is the carbon steel. But an old worker said, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for carbon steel. So he said, well, it's right there by you. So he said, I learned from the worker. This kind of thing. We sat close to that. And all I did was get up and after you get through with all of this stuff, was get up and compliment them and say they were very that they were to be able to study in this university, and I congratulated them on their success and being selected. And that's it, you know, just a little short.
What was your impression? You were speaking in Shanghai. So
yeah.
Now, what I mean, you nationally didn't get to move, but
we did.
What about people?
I walked at least 2 miles away with nobody with me. Not so.
Well, then, as you walk,
I can tell you that.
Just to get your feeling, people. Did they know you were American?
No, I don't think they knew.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I noticed one of the wire service reporters,
Roderick,
said that he said that I wrote one of his pieces, Johnny John, said that he heard whatever the words Chinese from America. And
he's
very, 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 very warm.
Well,
but you didn't, of course, you don't know Chinese.
I don't know Chinese, and I could have gone. The only thing I could say was Ni Hao, which I think is hello.
Yeah.
And Kanpei, which is bottoms up. That's the only two words I have.
And
that's from going to a banquet. But truthfully, now let's just talk about that, because
people are
my impression of the people is, of course, everybody dressed alike. No woman has a dress. I never saw a woman in a dress. I saw thousands or 18,000 in that hall. I never saw one dress.
They were all in
all in the pants, and they looked like they were, like underneath that they had long underwear or something, you know. But anyway, they were all in that kind. Whether as the higher up they got, the neater their clothes were, but they were still the same type.
They looked healthy.
They were very healthy. Everybody I saw was reasonably healthy, and they were curious, absolutely curious. We attracted people, like 100 or 200, just walked down the street. Every kid I saw that I waved at would wave back. I smiled and waved, you know, like this. And babies, and this is very interesting to me, babies in arms, their mothers would wave, just like you would here,
yeah,
you know? Now, the adults were, you know, no reaction in that respect. But let me give you an experience where I was crowded, absolutely crowded. This was in Shanghai, and I'm looking at the Wangfu River, and I've got a crowd around me, and I've got my USTTA tent, which is like a shield, red, you know, red, blue.
Is that it?
No, that's Chrysler.
Oh,
but today's photographs are Chrysler.
Good.
The USTTA tent has just got USTTA across the top of it, so this guy's right up to my coat, you know, looking at that pen. That'd be pretty brave if you get close to it, you know, a freak like I was to that. So I took the pin off and gave it to him, you know. And nobody understood that or not, but he passed it around to a few people. He kept it. Now, standing over here is some young fellow, maybe 16 or 17. Tell him what it was. First in time.
And now,
sure. Very small.
Sure.
Very nice. Brought it home. Because it was kind of a warm thing to do. He wasn't, it wasn't like somebody wanted
to. He always has changed.
That's right. Hey, well, not.
If you ever give anybody something, he'll give you something back.
That's true. Let me do something. Well, let me finish about the people, because I think that's important. You know, the buildings are old. They're very old. They're very dull. They're very drab. They're almost dirty. The streets are dusty. I mean, the people look dusty, but the streets are scrupulously clean. There are people cleaning those streets with brooms and everything else. Now, they have a lot of animals, but still those streets are absolutely clean. They clean them up. They're putting trees all down the streets, lots of them. Now, I asked, I said, are those a windbreak for the farms? You know, it's because you have a lot of wind. You know, just to beautify them. And they have them like 6 foot apart. I mean, they really plant trees. All over, everywhere I was.
Everybody seems to be working.
Oh, they're all busy.
Hardworking people.
And yet there are people who are sleeping right in the street. Now, I don't know why.
Who's also in the...
Well, yeah, but I don't mean derelicts.
I am what you mean. Yeah.
They're sitting...
Well, there's an awful lot of people there. 10 million people
there. They're all over the...
Third biggest city in the world.
Now, there's not very many cars. Not very many. I found a 40 Plymouth, and I have my picture taken standing alongside of it because I want to get that shot back to the company. And,
but it's still around.
That's right.
That was a good year for Plymouth.
I had one.
Yeah. I had a 40 Opel built that year. Remember then we couldn't have any of
rationing.
We had to give them up.
I know they're in business. You know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went to the railroad station, for instance, and walked around this railroad station. Nobody was there. We could take pictures there. The only thing they asked us not to do was take pictures of the subway entrance. And they apparently are building a subway. I suspect it's not finished. That's not important. But apparently the building.
Mm-hmm. That was the only thing you were asked not to put. It's the only thing.
And I could believe that. I could believe it because it could be an underground shelter for a
train
raid.
Why
wouldn't we respect that?
We do the same thing.
Why wouldn't we respect that? You know,
that could be a security problem.
Yes. But I finally told him the last day in Shanghai, we were going to leave, fly out at 4 o'clock for Canton. And I said, look, I haven't got my wife a gift yet. I've been so busy with you guys. Now, tomorrow, I don't care what you've got planned, I'm going shopping. By the way, they were very reluctant to accept American dollars because I guess they had difficulty getting a change. But I left American Express checks there because they offered us $50 a piece gift. And I refused it. I said, money. I'm going to take your hospitality, but we're not going to take money. If we buy anything, we're going to buy it with our own money. So if you have to change the money if you expect us to buy anything here. So I said, well, okay, we'll do that. But exchange rate they gave me. I have the slightest idea. I didn't care. You know, whatever we bought was less than, we just wanted to bring something from China.
It didn't seem to be too expensive to go.
No, it's very expensive. Because now that, but anyway, they went along with that, but they loaned us $50 a piece.
Oh.
And I said, well, this is a loan, but tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, you have somebody here to accept my traveler's check for all the money you loaned me today. Because I'm not going to leave here until that's clear, and I'll collect from my people. If they don't, pay you, I'll collect. So we did do that, and every one of us paid, and I was delighted I stuck with that, because nobody would have heard about it. The press would never report it if the Canadians hadn't kept the money. But because we refused, and the Canadians accepted the money, I saw a story that the Americans refused the money, but some of the Canadians accepted it. Well, I have a clipping. When I got home, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I'm only saying that we kept our cool on that one.
And all of your team followed your example.
Well, they had to.
You ran a bank
check. They did, and I paid it myself anyway.
I know.
thought I ran it as tight as I could.
They recognized, they apparently took your leadership very, very much.
Did you look reluctant?
Oh, I think it's hard, but I mean, to get young people like that.
Oh, the young people aren't good.
The biggest trouble I had with Dave Miles, our support, is that we raised to go in is we wanted to get some coverage. So we asked for a sports correspondent. Since he was the best table tennis player we ever had, 10 times national champion, they let him come, which was all right. Anyway, I want to tell you about the shopping thing because this was most unusual. The next morning I said, I gotta go shopping. Well, at 7:30 that morning, there's a knock on my door, and there are two tailors with 8 rolls of silk under their arms. There are 2 interpreters. There are 2 officials and 2 girls they thought might be my wife's size. Can you imagine that? At 7:30 in the morning, I'm taking a plane out at 4:00. They not only made the dresses, so when they did that, I said, okay, but remember this. I'm taking this gift to my wife. I don't want it from the Chinese people to my wife. I want it from Gravesteen over to my wife, so I must pay for it, and I don't want any funny price. I want the exact price, and I want it broke down into labor and material. I want to know how much these tailors are going to get for making these dresses, and I want to know how much the material costs. And they said, okay. And that's exactly going to be a bill. Material and labor. And after 4:00, and I said, one other thing. You tell these two fellows they must accept my gift. I've got a small gift for them, and they must accept it, or I'll be offended, you know. So they said, okay. They must forget what he's thinking. But, we had these pens, these American made. See, we threw here. I got to tell you, this fellow Cunningham in Tokyo is absolutely a lifesaver for us, and I just felt great about America when I got in touch with him. He just was marvelous. I mean that. That guy's a fine man. Anyway, he arranged somehow to get pens for us, and we haven't paid him yet. He's going to send us the bill to take in, because we had to have something, so I exchanged these pens with him, and they show up at the airport with box in each, you know, each one's got a box, and on top of the box a small gift. You can't give them anything unless they give you something back.
You gave them American pens, I think.
All American pens. Cross and Parker. Now, might not have been a good choice, but it's all we had.
Oh, sure, but that is a simple version.
Well, we had the Americans. You had one to buy something in Tokyo that was made in Japan. You know, that was no good. Had the Americans. So anyway, now this is just kind of the highlights.
Let me ask you this, this is quite important. When will their return trip be made, in your opinion?
My guess is that it will be made if we really are going to have to go to work and get things organized to do the job to do.
See, the point is that we have to have that handled with great care.
Oh, no question.
And I think your advice to us would be very helpful, would you agree?
Absolutely.
Because I know that obviously Ed knows the sensitivities. Now, we in America, say exactly the wrong thing, so we want to treat them with great respect, just like they treated
us. Also, this will be the first Chinese group that's been outside of their own district.
Outside of the mainland since 1925.
We'll have to send it then.
Will they send young people like yours? Or?
Yes, absolutely. They'll send young people like ours. Everybody's trying to get on the bandwagon now.
Okay.
They're inviting the swimming team, the basketball team, and every team.
Sure.
My people are getting all upset because I'm not having them next week, you know. And I've made my announcement that when they come, it's going to be as well prepared, as well planned as theirs was for us.
But they have accepted your invitation already.
They accepted it a week ago. They accepted it in China. I said to them, why don't you announce it on Peking Radio? Maybe you'd like the privilege of announcing it as I arrive in the United States, and I'll tell you when I'll be there. Well, they booked my flight, so they know when I was going to be there. And I said, maybe you'd like to announce it first, and then you tell me when you want to announce it. Consider that. And they probably went to see Joe and Lai and come back and say, Mrs. Steenholm, we want you to announce it when you're ready to announce it. I sat on it for a week and just fluffed everything off and said, well, I'm expecting an answer.
It's a validated, you announced that they did not knock it down. That's an important thing. You see, let me tell you now, the problem here. You talk about the swimming teams and all the rest. Let me tell you about the editors when they were here last week. Do you know, 75 phone calls were put in the show and my editors from the, he talked to them on the phone,
of course.
But the point is that, as you know, we opened up this to 16 months ago, opened up the travel,
right,
to that part.
They would not take any money.
So the door has always been open. It's been open for about 16 months. And then finally, you went in. Now, we've opened up the door on last Wednesday, or a week ago Wednesday, for them to return and see if you can do that. Now, the Chinese, not because it's going to be their communists, but because of the Chinese, which is a very significant point. The Chinese are people that who would, in my opinion, might react negatively if it looks as if it's like your gift. You give them something, they give you something. It seems to me that you have done exactly the right thing. You went over. You were accepted. You gave. You went on your own. You were independent. You let them know that it was quid pro quo. And you had the guest relationship. Now they come back. My own view is that they're probably that they probably would reciprocate by having your group first. Don't you think so, Henry?
Oh, I would think so.
Trying to think about others. In other words, let me say, we're not concerned. See, as far as the government is concerned, anybody can ask. Foreigners are anybody, anybody else, anybody can ask to go there, but it's up to them as to whether they return. I think, though, that the way you handle yourself and the way you're handling it now is more likely to get the result that we want. In other words, and I think it's terribly important that the first visit be a successful one, one that is handled more important than anything else. The Chinese are very civilized people. Poor, yes, because it's a huge country, but they're civilized with a long history. And the most important thing out of mind when they come here is that it doesn't mean that we can't, we will still be American, but we must treat them in a civilized way. Do you agree with that? Isn't that a phrase?
The way I acted when I was with them.
That's right.
Saying, when will
they come? It sounds to me there, and they make their threat here.
Oh, yeah.
It must not look as if they're being exploited.
No, no, no.
It must not look as if, I don't mean by you, but I mean by our press.
By any
means. Now, see, that's one problem I've found. We're terrible rock with our own press, because the press store here is huge, as you have found as you return.
I know that.
And they'll be spending on these, they'll be spending on these print people. Like, and we do.
Guide the, you see, we're not going to take
any organization or any collection or any money unless we're positive that it's clean money and
so that you're not used.
That's what I'm afraid of. We're not going to be used by anybody as far as we're concerned.
Also, you must realize, too,
and not somebody checking it out.
This involves, too, people sort of joke about being harassed. And we, of course, must not read into this more than is there. That would be a mistake. But on the other hand, it is very significant, as Dr. Kishner points out, that for the first time in 25 years, people from mainland China will be in the United States. It's a very significant thing. It's very significant for the first time in 25 years, basically, to have to deal with it.
Right.
So what we must do is the fact that you handled it so well, I think, is a great credit to your good sense. I didn't follow. What did you think, Ron? Did you think it was well handled? You read all the press accounts.
I think so. Yes. No other question.
And
The only thing I had going was dignity. Some kind of integrity, that's all. You know,
what do you believe?
I believe in being a good guest.
What did your, what do you feel, John, about the...
Have you suggested a date yet?
No. My next step is, I'm not going to suggest dates, but I'm asking when they want to come. And that's the next step. And I was obviously take care of this thing first, and then tomorrow I'm going to write a letter to the individual accepts the invitation, and which I'm going to ask him to suggest first the places he wishes to go, what he wishes to see in the United States, and what he wishes to come. They did that to us. They told us, come now, stay another week. What do you want to see? Everything we asked for. Everything we saw.
Good.
We wanted to see a school. We wanted to see a community. We wanted to see the Wall of China. We wanted to see Joan and I. Now, I'm sure we saw Joan and I anyway. And
you can make that call with them that they can see.
That's exactly what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Where do you want to go? What do you want to see? And when do you want to come?
Well, depending on whether they will be the first Chinese group to visit here or not, I can
say
tremendous.
It should be
critical levels, can't you, Rob?
Yeah, almost.
Well, there will be.
We can help you with the press. I think in that, when I say we could, not that it would be government, but basically most of the press will be from here. And I think on that score, that it was vitally important not to let this be a terrible circus.
Oh, we can.
So we don't want any embarrassment on this trip. You see the point, John? You must not have all embarrassed.
We can have another part of the press,
another Nikita Khrushchev. You might have heard of him. That was a sort of bad thing. But we don't want, for example, individual members of battered by a press guy trying to do this, or, you know, and then sneaking in to get the special. We just tell them, look, they're going to be treated with the same dignity that you were treated.
Right. Yeah, well, they were careful to keep us in. You see, we can take these people to, let's say they want to go to Detroit, as an example. Let's assume they want to go to Detroit. Fine. If they go to Detroit, we'll probably take them to a hotel on Bloomfield Hills that's got some territory around it. Maybe it has a park, and maybe it has a gate where we say that beyond this you can't go, you know, that type of thing. That's what we're going to have to. Not isolate them as such, but use our good sense in keeping them in areas. As they did us, in a sense, we were in private. Any of the hotels we were in, nobody else was in. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not open to the general public. The stores, we went in to buy the shop, there are no Chinese in that place.
Really?
Oh, no. They said, we saw ballet, and we saw an opera.
Did you?
Oh, they were fantastic. They are really skilled. There's, you know, I sound like I've gone over it, but that's not true. I'm being very honest. They showed us their best. The ballet, I was concerned about what time we're going to get there. They said, Mr. Sino, it won't start until you get there. I said, you're not going to make the ballet. You know, we're fooling around as you're bringing these people on their way. Yes, you're not going to make it. And they said, well, it won't start until you get there. So anyway, what I meant was that they really didn't have a question for us. And I'm sure we can do it, but we need your help. We need someone with that can just guide us, and we're not, we have many illusions about our own abilities in that score. So with Gossett is the man that has volunteered his services. I obviously can't pay him anything near what he'd be worth. And I have no funds to pay him, but he hasn't even mentioned that. He's there to help us, and I got to him yesterday to Chrysler.
Mr. President, don't you think the degree of American government participation in this visit is something that you would
This way you will have our full cooperation. We've opened their, this George, since they opened theirs, and we will do everything we can, consistent with our principles, to cooperate with you.
Fine, I didn't expect anything different, honestly, because when I checked first, if the answer had been kind of lay low, I'd never tendered the invitation. The invitation was tendered because it was approved.
Sure.
And if it hadn't been, we wouldn't have done it. We'd have been very polite.
Sure.
You know, we said, come over sometimes, you know, instead of being specific. So I have no illusions about this thing. There's no need for me to make, for anybody to cash in, as it were, on this. We want to do a job and only cash in.
I mean, suggest that on this, because of the other aspects of it, Mr. Skelly, I think he would be good to grant Mr. Dawson to talk to you, and then you, of course, coordinate. Of course, former AP reporter, and also ABC reporter, and he's quite familiar with the press thing.
In this connection, Mr. President, you've been invited by Issues and Answers this Sunday to appear
turn it down.
And Mrs. Wheaton, the producer of that show, has come to me and asked whether we can do anything to persuade you to come here again. I would suspect not.
No, I give my answer.
I wouldn't do it, almost.
I don't intend to. I've given my last press.
Seems to me that
I'm back to work.
I said it sounds to me that
I really think
that your position is standing by, and you're not going to respond. He's got to feel the way he feels, John.
And take a viewer of all political managers.